Hi, I'm Paul Keenan, and you're about to start developing strength from the inside out with this podcast. I'm a personal trainer and mentor for trainers and coaches. With me, you won't get motivational fluff or hype. You will get a combination of brain science, real client case studies, transformational psychology, action steps, and some woo-woo wisdom, all rolled into one superset. If you're wanting more from your life, to feel better, look better, to heal, perhaps to have more and to be more, then this is the podcast for you. Because you're going to learn how to strengthen your mind and develop your awareness physically, mentally, and emotionally. All from the inside out. Welcome to the Mind Your Muscle Podcast.
A couple of episodes ago, I talked about goals, big goals. I'm actually going to try and find out here how long I can do this without putting on my podcast voice. You can let me know where I get to. But yeah, goals and big goals, and we're approaching that time of year again where as a society we will generally see the most goals set per head, I guess, with the turn of a new year. Look, I'm not a fan of the new year goals, which I'm sure you've guessed if you've been listening to me, but it's not because it's a new year. The time of year actually has very little to do with it, if anything. And it's why generally New Year's resolutions in my mind become a thing, is because it's the same as the diet starts Monday idea. It's a clean slate per se. And again, the diet starts Monday. Monday is an issue. Having goals is good, and setting goals is good, and starting on a particular day, you know, that's good. Those are all good things. And I don't like to think there are too many unrealistic goals, but more so unrealistic time frames. The thing with time is that it can be both a blessing and a curse. It can cause us to up our game when we work to deadlines, or it can add pressure on the other end of that at the same time. Time can allow us to section or divide our goals or projects into chunks, but can become a distraction if we're simply working towards the time frame rather than the true nature of the goal, like rushing a job through, you know, just to get it finished. We spend time like we spend money, except we can't create more time. So time actually becomes this noose if all we look at is the goal or target in the time we set. And I'll happily use myself for the most monumental fucking example of how that can really, really blow up in your face. So some of you probably know, or if you don't, you will in the next few minutes, that in 2019, I set about opening a bricks and mortar business, basically a gym. Well, not basically. And I say a gym, it was a group training studio, a gym, and a class studio. Basically three businesses, one location at one time, pretty much. And it's easy to say, well, Paul, that sounds a little stupid from the start. The thing is, though, it wasn't stupid. The way I went about it was, my focus was on getting all three opened within a three-month period. So that was my focus, getting all three open basically within a three-month period. And I had literally signed a contract for that. And I knew I could attract clients as my numbers were solid. And, you know, I took a necessary break in July and August of that year. I'd finished with about 20, 22 people in group training, and I had been running up until that point from a local facility. And we actually went to 80 clients in the time that I tried to open the facility. And I say tried because I think really that's all I ever did. You know, it was closed inside 12 weeks. I've said it before, you know, it probably holds the record for the quickest gym closure in history. Tens of thousands, though, emptied from my bank accounts, and, you know, put on the personal credit cards and loan facilities, etc. And I completely underestimated the cost of labor, despite getting estimates, business plan, and, you know, everything else. But that's what ultimately sunk the ship. I was working against the clock. Without the right facility changes, there was going to be this bottleneck with income and revenue. I had always said that I worked well under pressure and putting that pressure on myself, but this time I bit off more than I could chew. I certainly didn't build it. I remember there was like 4 grand in painting About $8,000 in electrical work and another $3,000 or so in joinery. And then there was planning permission for the change of use from retail to gym. And that had to be got before I could open, as stipulated by the landlord. And then there was about $2,000 to the planning consultant to argue the case as to why, you know, it should be done, because there was going to be an argument. And $20,000 basically on logistical stuff. Then you add in like equipment, so it was another $20,000. And one thing I didn't even know or anticipate was, and nobody even mentioned it to me before, even though I'd done a business plan with somebody professional, again, not their fault that anything failed, but it was just, this wasn't noted or mentioned, was that for the electricity, I needed to put down a $2,000 deposit to get electric. And it really added up far too quickly and was basically double what I'd originally thought. And that therefore ate into cash flow. But the biggest issue was always time. There wasn't enough time given. I didn't give enough time. I didn't give enough consideration to the time that it would actually take. I went too quick. I tried to do it all at once. Really, it was a 3-year project and not a 3-month project. Was it a failure? I reckon 99% of people will say, yes, it was a failure. And what about the other 1%? Well, that's probably me and a few people close to me who will tell you how much I've learnt from it. If I'd learnt nothing, then I would say, yes, failure. But I learnt. It wasn't the goal that was unrealistic. It was a time frame. So where does that leave me today then? It leaves me still with the goal, just like it should be with you, because if the goal was true to you, then you should still have the goal. If the goal was worthy, it would still be the goal. And if you believed in yourself once, then you can believe again. And you can also believe in a more measured and experienced approach, I think. The goal for me was never about the 3 units. It was about the provision. It was about the provision of physical, intellectual, and spiritual health provided by VF through me. So the goal remains. I don't know how many times in, you know, in the last 18 months I think I've been asked if I would ever open another place, and of course I will. I just won't put a date on it, and it won't be anywhere near the same scope as in 2019. I reckon probably like a 3 to 4 year space between that is likely necessary. In 2019, I was in a rush, and I didn't need to be. I didn't need to be doing what I did. I was okay financially. In fact, I was probably in the best financial position I'd been in a long, long time. And someone again also asked me it last week, and that was my answer. Basically, I said, you know, that when I do it, it'll be because I want to, not because I have to, because I want to, not for money, not for growth, or for anything other than to give me the experience of getting back to the group coaching, because I really love coaching in person and group coaching too. As much as I love online and working online, and you know, I know everybody says PTs and all, working online is great, and you know, there's more money and less time working and everything else, but I enjoy coaching, and that's the case. So 100%, I will be back at some point. And I know that there'll be people out there who will hate 100% that I would go again, because you know what? There's always going to be people who don't want to see you do a thing, and you can do nothing about them. They have their reasons based on their experiences, based on their beliefs. Maybe it's from things I've heard or whatever. Don't let anyone else ever be the reason that you don't try, though. What would it take for me to go again? What would I need? Well, you know, what do you need to do to go again to achieve your goals? You really only need one thing, and that's the will to do it. You've heard that, I'm sure, or something similar before. You've heard of willpower, like this mental strength, this power of the mind that some people just seem to have and others don't. What about free will? Or what about the will from your Aunt Betty, who passed away, do you remember, in Toronto? And the president of the EU keeps emailing you about it because you were left only $3.5 million from Betty. but you have to contact him, the president of the EU, right away and provide your bank details in order for this small sum to be transferred. Well, that's, you know, I'm obviously not talking about that will. There's a fair chance that one's a scam. But the will I'm talking about is that one point of focus where we get to fix our mind so intently on one thing that we block out distractions and interference. So not support, not advice, distractions, interference. And sometimes it can be difficult to see that as distractions and interference and what's advice. And again, that could be down to the learning curve. So I talk a lot about environment. I talk a lot about the outside world, the external outside forces, places, things, you know, or people that just seem to be there and wanting you to or trying to steer you towards feeling or losing. People wanting you to give in. People wanting you to quit. People fucking wanting you to break, expecting you to break, to stop doing what you're working towards and start doing effectively what they want you to do. People try to kill your dreams. People try to kill your goals. People try to smother your desires, the things that you want, even daily targets. And that could be something relatively small, like having a drink of alcohol or a takeaway through the week, trying to break you. You know, if that's your goal is to not do that, people will try to break you. It can be anything. People wanting to see you break your promise and commitment to yourself. Like I said, you know, about your diet, could be about your training, could be about your learning, whatever it is. That outside force, that is strong, all right? That outside influence is always strong and it can always be overwhelming. It will be overwhelming. It's going to be destructive at times and it's going to be hard to push against. But there are times where I think we do have to push. We do have to fight. We have to stick to what we said we were going to do. Because what happens if we don't? We're basically saying that the word we spoke to ourselves doesn't matter. The commitment we made to ourselves doesn't matter. And when we say that, if that's what we're doing, if that's how we're acting, that we said something but we're not following through on it, what we're saying is that we don't matter. And we do. You matter. And the one thing that you have to reinforce that to yourself to keep going is your will. You can deal with that through your highly developed and engineered will. When we look at setting goals for what we want, when we look at goals and maybe look at self-image, when we start to think about what we want and imagine it, I always ask people to think about what it looks like, to create this mental picture of it, to create this image in the mind, to reaffirm the picture, reaffirm the story, the movie, you know, whatever that is to yourself every day. Because holding the picture and holding that image of what you want, that is held in place by your will. And your will to make that come to life, despite the naysayers, despite the doubters and the mood hoovers and the energy vampires, despite negative outside attractions or distractions, sorry, that's what gives you your internal power. That's what gives you your internal strength, your inner strength, because holding the image of what you want is held in place by your will. And when you can develop that and you have that in your toolbox, that ability to give yourself the command and follow through, that discipline, your will to make the thing come to life, despite those naysayers and everyone else. That inner strength to give yourself that command and follow through with it, like I said, is discipline, it's consistency, it's confidence in your word. It's confidence in your will. Consistency and will, for me, they're very much aligned. Everything's connected. The traits of successful people, they don't stop at one or two attributes. You know, it's like they have this golf bag full of all the right clubs or tools to help them be at the very best that they can be. And just like on the golf course, regardless of whether you know fucking anything about golf, doesn't matter, you'll know that using just one club the entire time is not going to be good enough. In fact, it's probably going to be stupid. Now, having confidence and belief in your ability to persevere towards your goals is a mind game. Sigmund Freud categorized the mind into three forms or concepts of self. So he said there was the id. I'm going to give you like a 30-second definition, which is basically all about your physical needs and wants as a human being. So that's the id. He talked about the superego, which is about how you act and react, how you behave, how you respond, how you indulge, acquiesce, okay, basically just give in for society and the world around you. Look at social media, look at your friends, look at your family, look at your work, look at your peers. How much are you actually doing that's yours, what you want to do, and sticking to it. Then there's the ego. Now, the thing about the ego is that terms really often quite used in a negative way, like such and such has ego, or they're egotistical, or somebody tells you you're egotistical, or self-centered, or, you know, it's seen as selfish and only interested in yourself. And I think it's misused, because it's very easy to describe someone as selfish or self-centered or egotistical whenever they put themselves first. The issue for me, again, just on my opinion, my belief, is it's not putting yourself first in most cases that's the issue. The issue in so many cases is that other people are used to you not placing yourself first. That's what the issue is. Other people are not used to you placing yourself first. Other people are used to you not placing yourself first. And that's a hugely important factor when you're looking to make changes. I see it and I've seen it so much. Especially, you know, when I was in the police and instances, for example, like domestic abuse, coercive control, even just mind games with people. You know, as soon as someone starts to pay more attention to themselves rather than those around them, then it's seen as selfish. Well, I can tell you now, it is not selfish. And that is absolutely controlling behavior. If you're being made to feel that prioritizing yourself is wrong or selfish, that prioritizing your health is selfish, prioritizing your mental well-being, your mindset is selfish. And it won't always come from personal relationships like a partner. It could be your parents, it could be siblings, it could be friends or colleagues, it could be other businesses, if you're self-employed or whatever. But I'm sure that lots and lots of you could actually testify to the opposite, that of being selfish, you actually, you know, it's not being selfish, because when you start to prioritize you more, you seem to have more love, you seem to have more energy, you seem to be able to have more quality time for people who you love, where relationships actually improve, unless you're in a negative environment. When you start to do work on who you are and what you believe about yourself, you are working on your ego. Ego is just simply your concept and understanding of yourself. Understanding your, I guess, level of confidence, you know, is one of those concepts in there. So confidence and ego are very much aligned. They are connected. Like I said, everything's connected. In terms of confidence, you were born confident. You were born strong. You know, I think you were born resilient. You were born disciplined. In essence, without wanting to sound, you know, wishy-washy or fluff, you were born perfect, and we've just been diluted and polluted. So, like, whenever I work on self-image and identity, it's about rebuilding you, not making a new you. You have everything you need already. Just have to reestablish it. And whenever you beat yourself up, right, for not having the willpower or confidence, you're acting from this belief system, a belief system where you have come to believe, funny enough, because it's a belief system, that as true, as fact, that you're not confident, that you're shy, that your self-esteem is low, that you don't have the ability to push on towards maybe the goals you've set. But like I said at the start, there are very few unrealistic goals. There are only unrealistic time frames. So recognizing what holds you back, recognizing that it's a belief, is huge. Why is it huge? Because we can 100% of the time change our beliefs about a thing. Think about Santa. Ever changed your belief about Santa? Ever changed your belief about your ex? Ever changed your belief about your old boss? Ever changed a belief about your new boss? You know, that friend of a friend you met for the first time and thought they were a dick? actually turned out to be really cool and maybe they're not good mates with you. Because everything in your life is a belief. And this is mind training. And it's like changing your shape and dropping fat and, you know, releasing fat, whatever you want to call it. It's 100% achievable. If you choose it to be doable and start with the belief that it's possible. I'm not saying you got to be in that belief mindset of it's possible right away. I'm not telling you to go out there and tell everybody how grateful you are. I'm grateful that it's possible, and I've seen so much shit on social media about everybody being grateful for stuff, which is great, and grateful that people are grateful. But again, I think gratitude and gratefulness, it's like having this fucking bag of toxic positive words, well-being, positive mindset, grateful. You know, I'm fucking grateful every day, but I don't need to go on social media and tell everyone about it, about every little thing that I'm grateful for. It just makes me vomit in my mouth a little bit. Anyway, just, you know, I'm not saying you have to be it right away, but just maybe think it's possible. Open up to that idea. Just see and recognize that we can change our beliefs about anything in life. And, you know, I say it about confidence. I say it about consistency. Well, effectively, they're self-concepts. So you'll either identify as having them or you won't, pretty much. You'll create this like blanket statement for yourself, I'm not confident or I'm never consistent. It's not really true. Being inconsistent is still consistent. And just like fat, you know, there's something you have that can come and go. Why are you letting the opinions of other people, fuck nuggets, determine how you feel about yourself? You are worth more than the dress size. You're worth more than the clothing size. You're worth more than the numbers in the scales. You're worth more than your bank balance. You're worth more than your relationship status. Your body and mind will tell us all a story. It's going to tell us all a story of a journey. And it's going to tell us all a story of a life that you have lived so far. Now, for you, the story has not ended. And it hasn't just begun either. I like to think about it as like this, just it's unfolding. This story of you is simply unfolding. Just like I've talked about the universe unfolding for almost like 14 billion years. For anyone who has felt worthless, for anyone who has felt undervalued, for anyone who has felt used, abused, tired, unloved, scarred, I don't know, stretched, depressed or anxious or stuck or just even lost. And for the women out there, for the women who've given birth and for the women who haven't, how you feel about who you are is always a conversation you can have on your own terms. Because you are in control of how you manage that situation, how you manage that conversation. You have that control. It's a choice. How you feel is a choice. What you believe is a choice. Three important aspects that I like to coach around your life and life itself that I'm passionate about, that I love, is confidence, is belief, and is self-love. Love yourself first. And remember that confidence is a state of mind. So until the next time, just be willing to succeed.
Thanks for listening to the whole podcast. If you're someone who enjoys seeing other people grow, then please share this podcast with your friends and family. If you found help through my voice and message, then I'm sure that they will too. So please share it on social media, share it via text, WhatsApp, and your DMs. Be present, challenge your own beliefs, trust the process, take action, be the community. So please, for every episode I share with you, I'd love you to share that podcast directly with someone else. And if you have questions, I'm there to help too. You can email me questions to paul@volumefitness.co.uk. I might even use your question for a future episode. And lastly, I do have one more request. And you only have to do this once, by the way. I want to reach and help more people, and you can help me with that. So if you can, please leave my podcast a fantastic review on iTunes. That way we can both help others gain strength and belief, all from the inside out. Thanks for listening.